Welcome to another segment of Media Meeting. I'm Dawn Morgan in studio, Theron Drake, formerly of Hobbs.
Theron's story is inspiring because he was born with sight and could see through his teenage years and was a swimmer, lost his sight, relearned how to swim and how to live his life without sight, and worked hard and ended up becoming a world champion swimmer, an Olympic para athlete and world champion athlete through a combination of just grit, determination, and inspiration.
Theron, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate your time as you're actually home for the holidays on a holiday break. Is that right?
Yes. Thank you, Don, for having me. We are here for the holidays and to celebrate my grandparents' 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for coming in, using part of your precious time at home to talk with us on the air, because your story is so great, so amazing. You've had some wonderful achievements, and I know you have more goals hanging out there in front of you that you're working towards. So we're going to kind of just talk about all of this a little bit, as we want to say right away that you were born sighted, and you live most of your life until you were in your teens, and then lost your sight. Is that right?
That is correct. So I was born with my eyesight, grew up here in Hobbs for most of my life since I was 2 years old. Grew up here in Hobbs, and then at 14 developed amnesia, and then 15, and on February 23rd, 2008, started losing my sight and was completely blind by June 2008. So we're coming up on 10 years of going blind.
My goodness. And we're going to revisit that as we talk a little bit about the progression of your life after losing your sight and your remarkable achievements. And I know what will be even more, as we want to revisit your most recent achievements as a swimmer. Talk about your visit in Mexico City. Is that right?
That is correct. Mexico City in December was a great trip.
What happened?
So Mexico City, we had our world championship scheduled for what I believe to be October. And then, as we all know, there was an earthquake there about a week before those championships were scheduled. So we had to wait 2 months for it to be rescheduled. It was rescheduled in December of this year. And we swam those world championships in Mexico City. And I can't brag enough about how wonderful the city was. And just the whole atmosphere together was an amazing experience.
Was that your first time in Mexico City?
This was my first time in Mexico City and my second time swimming in Mexico.
Okay. You think you'll go back?
Eventually, I think we might go back to Mexico. You can never tell on scheduling, but if the people were anything like they were when I was there just a few weeks ago, I would love to go back to Mexico City.
Well, you did a great job of representing yourself and, of course, the country. Tell us about the races and the races that you won, the records and the medals. As we speak, you have on display medals you have won, not only in Mexico City, but in Rio and other accomplishments you've got. It's a colorful vision of your visible and tangible evidence of your remarkable achievements in the water. So tell us about Mexico City.
Mexico City was an amazing experience. We had wonderful food. Our team provided us a great hotel where we had just the best of food you could imagine. I felt like a king there, and so it really prepared me for my races. Going into the pool area was different than usual. It was extra cold in the morning, so I was smart enough to bring my own blanket, which all my teammates stole a lot. So I brought my blanket, and I knew, having some experience under my belt now, I knew what to do, what not to do, and expect for the worst and expect for the best. Just go with whatever is given to you, and that's exactly what I did. So my 100-meter freestyle was my first race. Took fifth place, ran into a lane rope, being blind, that happens. And so, okay, good first race. Let's see what happens next time. Is a really good race of mine, my 400-meter freestyle, where I took one of my silvers in Rio. I was expected to win it. And again, you expect for the worst, prepare for, you know, expect the worst, expect the best. You never know what'll happen. So I swam my race, and it's an 8-lap race. And coming off that fifth wall, going into the sixth lap, I came off the wall really hard and fast, because it was going to pick up and go really quick, because I wanted to get out ahead right there for the win. And when I did, I hit my head against the lane rope so hard, I lost my goggles. They went around my neck, drew some blood, and I finished the next three laps. And I just remembered in my head going, look, you have a choice to stop here, grab your head, or keep going, because you didn't train to lose. You trained to win, and this is just part of life. Things happen that we don't expect. Keep going. And that's what happened. Kept going. I finished the wall, and I grabbed my face, and the announcer, to turn out on the video they showed, they thought I was emotional, and probably was a little bit afterwards, because it was my first world championship win, but I just remember my face was hurting really bad that time, and turned out I had blood dripping down a little bit, and so it was a really cool way to win my first world championship.
A memorable win for sure, for you and for everybody else, apparently,
yeah.
Right?
And then the next day, I had the 100-meter breaststroke, where I took my second gold, and wow. That was a really neat experience. And then an hour later, I was exhausted and had my fourth and final race of the meet, the 200 IM, where I took a silver.
Wow. So great to have world champion in the studio, a world champion athlete with medals. It's great to hear you talk about the experience. And it must feel just incredible when you do this, when you win, what do you feel? What's the first thing after you work, you train, and then you're in the moment and you win? What's that feeling, that thought?
So the first one when I won, it was just a, wow, I'm a world champion. This is cool. And then this sounds really bad, but it's, okay, what's next? How can I make sure for this next year I can make this race even better? How can I make sure I get to keep this title, because someone's going to come after this title in the next 2 years, or at the Pan Pacs next year in Australia, someone's going to want this title. So it was a, wow, this is an amazing achievement, and look at the past and all the hard work and all the people that have poured their lives into this one single moment. Now how can we continue to invest in that effort?
I think that's a really healthy thought, though. You know, you enjoy the moment, you live in it, but you're always looking forward, looking ahead, and that's how we achieve goals, I guess, is you're always looking forward and setting those goals. And I think that's something that's true for everybody, and I know that that's something that you try to impart to other people, especially young people these days, after having the experiences that you've had.
Yeah, this is a huge part, is just making sure that our young people in our community, the children in our schools, know that it's good to make A's, it's good to come up with these big, elaborate goals and plans. And I think oftentimes when we make these big plans and big goals, and when they actually come to fruition, we make them come to life, and then we go, cool, that was awesome. And then you have to thought, what do I do next? And it's learning to continue that dream. Going through the schools last year, I can't tell you the number of times our children here in Hobbs would ask, well, why is it silver and not gold? That you lost. Why is that a good thing? You lost. And when are you going to get a gold? And so you would get this mix of, that's really cool, you took second place, but what's it take to get first place? And that says a lot about our children here, that they understand something good, but they don't want to settle for good. We want to settle for great. And then when we get great, we want to figure out how to keep going. And that's what Hobbs has taught me, and obviously is still teaching our youth today.
The silver that you talked about was at the in Rio,
yes.
Rio de Janeiro, right? So and you took some, and they're here. I can see them. But talk about the races that you won. You didn't lose, and that's how I think it's important. When you win a silver, you win a bronze, you win a gold, you win that medal, you don't lose, you know, you win the silver, you don't lose the gold. And I think that's important to appreciate the achievement. There's just nothing wrong with then wanting gold, because you did. You wanted gold after that experience.
Right.
And you worked for it. You went to Mexico City and you got them.
So in Rio, it was a great learning experience. It was my first games. Everything's done a little different. So anyone who's ever been to a swim meet, you think you're 1, 2, 3 day swim meets long. Try going to a 10-day swim meet. It's really long, and you have to really prepare your body for it. And so with our meet there, I was ready, had great races, and there were some great goals. I took a silver in the 400-meter freestyle at that moment. Everyone was just absolutely mind-blown. It wasn't supposed to happen. And then I was really thinking, I knew I could win the 100-meter breaststroke, take a gold in it. And I took silver, and I remember being really upset that night, just really upset. And Paula, my fiancée, said, okay, I want you to shake these medals because there's BBs in these medals for blind people to shake, and they can tell what color it is, depending on how many BBs. So that 400 freestyle, the 3 days before, I shook real hard and real proud. But 3 days later for that 100-meter breaststroke, not as big of a shake. Just a tink, tink, okay, are you happy? And she taught me the best quote I'll ever hear is, be happy but not content. Be happy with what you won. You won that silver. It wasn't handed to you. You had to beat all these other blind people in the entire world for that moment. And it's a good thing that you realize that you're capable of gold. So don't be happy, be happy with that, but don't be content with silver. Keep pushing forward.
I think that's great advice in life with athletics as well as with everything.
School, whatever it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anyone of any age and with any kind of particular challenges, because we all come with, our lives, we have challenges, whether they're, some are more challenging than others, and some have more mountains, to really climb in order to get there. But everybody experiences setbacks and has to overcome and deal with issues in life. And certainly, it would have been so easy for you to just say, when you lost your sight, for you just to say, man, this is not fair. This isn't, why me? This isn't fair. And then stop right there and not ever, realize any of the accomplishments you have and the goals that you still want to achieve. It would have been so easy. Did you have some periods of time of doubt and darkness in there before you found your way?
There were moments of darkness, and thankfully I didn't have a whole lot, but I remember in April 2010, so there's what you call light perception, no light perception. And April 2010, I had one of my really, really close friends pass away in the beginning of that month. And then towards the end of it, I lost my light perception. I remember we were outside, and they said, man, it's a bright day, and I thought it was cloudy because it was pitch black. What do you mean it's a bright day? Because at that point in time beforehand, I could see light and dark a little bit, but not much. And that was when it really clicked. Wow, you're blind. And it's probably not going to get better, and you're blind. And that day, it really kind of shook me. It was, okay, what do I do? If it's not going to get better, like I was hoping it would just get magically better, what do we do from here? So it was not even a day. It was maybe an hour, and I remember everything I've been taught throughout life was you can either sit here and cry about it, which isn't going to fix a thing, or you can get up and continue to go on through life. Just see what happens. God's got a plan. Let's see what happens. And that's what I did.
As you mentioned, one last thing, because it's something that you have touched on, but you were talking about being, and you are such a good inspiration for other people, children and adults alike, but you were talking about the achievements and how important they are, but there's something maybe even more important than the end of the journey itself.
So with the end of the journey, is awesome, but to remember that there's so much more between point A and point B. There's the whole journey in between there is what I think so important to the whole picture. Because if I just worry about A and B, there's all the middle that it takes to get to point B that without it, you'd never make point B. And so it's those journeys and those experiences that I think is where life is made.
Great story. Theron Drake, thank you so much for your time. Good luck in the future. And we'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This is Media Meeting.